Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast. Voice note. Pimelo Mutine on WhatsApp.
063-688-0959.
Point of View.
Keep connected with us.
Kaya959.
On the street.
On the air.
So obviously you may be watching, you may have been watching that Parliament today had a budget vote and the fiscal framework was approved by members of Parliament. However, the EFF absolutely opposing it. On the line with us is EFF Treasurer General Umphile Maudwe. Thank you so much for making time for us. Good evening and welcome, Ms. Maudwe.
Good evening to you, Pimelo. Good evening to the listeners at home.
You had already been indicated that you're unhappy, that there was very little engagement, particularly with the public. You were very clear about the fact that this, even the fuel increase, was something that the public cannot afford. Your take on the vote today and, you know, what your position is on the framework as it stands.
Thank you very much, Pimelo. Our position is very clear. It still stands that we reject the fiscal framework and the new proposal that was tabled by the minister. Mm. Our reasons are that, one, it's an austerity measure budget. If you listen to the ANC's debate, all of them, they came out in defense of this austerity measure. And the minister actually came in at the end and exposed them for who they are. He says, for a budget to be called austerity, there must be at least two things. One, is that there must be an increase in tax. Two, it means there must be a decrease in the expenditure. Now, he has done both. He has introduced a fuel levy, which is a tax, in order to increase the revenue or the income that the government seeks to make so that they can make the budget to pass. But two, he has decreased his expenditure. If you look at the expenditure that will go to the police, to the healthcare, to education, to social grants, it has decreased. So he answered the question and he actually agreed with the EFF that this is an austerity budget, a budget that will not take us from where we are. He spoke about the 9,000 doctors that could not be absorbed last year because of the budget. But even the current budget is not going to help him to absorb those 9,000 doctors. The education, he does not speak about the increase in the education that is going to put on the table to assist just pure schools to, you know, to have a proper infrastructure at the school. Day in, day out, Pimelo, we hear about kids falling in P12s in the Eastern Cape. The current budget is not going to assist with that. We hear about the shortage of money to afford the scholar transport, the food scheme at the school. Those issues are still going to continue. The shortage of teachers at schools, it does not address all that. But most importantly is that he refuses to introduce progressive taxes. So we are the easy target. We as the poor are the easy targets to go to. He wants to increase revenue. He goes and taps into the pockets of the poor. How so? By one, trying to increase VAT, which we had to take him to court for the reversal of the VAT increase. Now the fuel levy, which is a regressive tax and is more painful and is more severe than what the VAT impact would have meant. What this one means, Pimelo, the fuel levy, is that it cuts across. It's a consumption-based tax. We will all feel it. The bread that must move from a bakery to a store in the village will have to now be transported by a truck that will have to put more petrol. Vegetables from the farm will have to be transported. So everything else that we need goes via logistics. If you go to Pick and Pay, Shoprite, Checkers, Pick and Pay, those are just buildings. But everything else that is inside Shoprite and Pick and Pay that you would go and purchase has been transported through a means of either a truck, a train, or any other means of transport. And that means that it will go high. The price of cabbage will increase. The price of maize meal will increase. The price of cooking oil will increase. Ultimately, the cost of living will increase. And who will feel the pinch more than anybody else? That's the poor. And those are the people that 18.2 million of them rely on the same government for grants. So he gives this 520 rand today. But 15% of that or more is already going into the fuel tax, which will come in the form of high price of bread, high price of cabbage, high price of meal, and all that. And we even know that the food basket zero-rated food basket has not been increased. But even with that, you know, that's not enough. Because they are talking about not necessarily the essentials that need to put us forward or keep us going. They are talking about amathumbu, mala, and all those things. We want proper meat. We want to eat real meat that everybody else is eating. So it is this kind of budget that we reject. We proposed to him progressive taxes like the wealth tax. Introduce wealth tax. Tax the rich. The rich is able to go to a wild farm auction and buy a buffalo for 22 million rand when poor people depend on 350 rand grant from government. So look at the gap between 350 rand and 22 million rand. One person buying one buffalo for 22 million rand. That's what we're talking about. We are asking him to introduce an apartheid tax. Everybody who benefited through apartheid must pay a tax in this country because they benefited unduly so, and they need to pay back. We're asking for luxury land holding tax here in Clifton, in Cape Town. Not very long ago, I think 2 weeks, 3 weeks ago, there was a piece of land that was put on the market. 170 million rand, a piece of land, very small. I can tell you for free, that piece of land is not even 500 square meters, but it's going for 170 million rand. Those are the things that you're asking him to tax. Who can afford to pay 170 million rand? Because you, not me. It's the people who inherited that wealth during apartheid who continue to live comfortably. And that's our fight with the minister to say it can't be correct. It can't be business as usual. Mm-hmm. The fourth item, Timela, which is a low-hanging fruit. SARS is saying to the minister and to the finance committee, there is 800 billion that is owed, that is sitting somewhere. I'm asking you to give me money so that I can go and unlock that 800 billion mm-hmm. rand. I'm only asking for 4 million rand. Like, really? Just to go and unlock 800 billion. So even if SARS was to come back with 10% of that 800 billion, that's 80 billion that will fill in the gap that the minister is talking about. Because the minister says he's increasing the fuel levy because there is a gap. But SARS can just go and get 80 billion rand. The other issue, Pimelo, is what affects you and me. Every employee in this country is going to be affected. We're fighting for National Treasury to adjust their personal income tax brackets. What do we mean by that? If government or your employer is going to adjust your salary to be in line with inflation, let's say they take up a salary by 4.5%, that's not a salary increase.
Yes.
That's a wage adjustment just to be in line with inflation.
Mm.
The possibility is that it will make you to go to a higher bracket. What does it mean? You're going to pay more tax now without you having a salary increase.
Mm.
So you are going to pay more money to SARS than you actually take home. So what the employer is actually trying to do defeats the purpose. Because that money is not coming to you. It's supposed to come to you if National Treasury had adjusted their tax income bracket. And the DG very clearly said in the beginning, in the second budget, the budget 2.0, he said, no, I'm not getting anything. But when he scrutinized now in the budget 3.0, he's actually going to attract, or rather collect, through SARS, 16.7 billion rand from you and I. By not adjusting the personal income tax bracket. So that's a bracket creep. That was saying it's a silent tax. So you are going to pay for that tax. You are going to pay for the fuel levy increase. Everything else will go high. If you park your car and say, okay, I don't want to pay more fuel for my car, the tax you are going to get inside to take you to work, you're going to pay more for it. Because the taxi industry already said if there's any fuel increase, we are going to have to increase our taxi fares. It will be the case with the buses. It will be the case with the trains. So all that you are pleading with the minister is that stop taxing the poor. Just tax the rich. You have not taxed them yet, so tax them. We are also asking for the minister to increase the corporate income tax. Sorry, the corporate tax income tax. Yes. Why? Because it was at 29%. It was reduced down to 27%. Was saying to him, for this financial year, just take it up by 1% to 28%. And next year, you take it back to what it was 29%. No, he's not going to do that. Instead, he's going to go for the poor and tax the poor through the fuel levy, which, by the way, is an overreach on his part, because the minister has got no power to actually increase the fuel levy. That's why we took him to court and was still in court for that. The minister is an executive member. He's not a member of the legislature. Only legislature can pass an amendment bill that seeks to increase or impose tax on ordinary citizens. The minister has got no role, has got no power to do that. And that's why we're taking him to court. So those are the few things that came out of the budget, the fiscal framework and the revenue proposal that we rejected. And we, in our rejection, also looking at the crisis that we're in, we put forward a proposal. Because, Pimelo, the other biggest issue is the economy that is not growing. The economy right now, National Treasury is projecting 1.4% increase. But StatsSA says in the first quarter of 2025, the economy grew by 0.1%. So our economy is stagnant, and it's been stagnant for the past 10 years. It has not grown by more than 2%. What are we saying as the EFF to counter that? We're saying stimulate the economy. Let's have a stimulus package. We had that during COVID-19 because we were in a crisis. Are we in the same crisis? Yes, we are. If you are in a country where 42% of the people are unemployed, and that's according to the StatsSA expanded unemployment rate, we are in a crisis. Even if you were to reduce that and take out the expanded, we're sitting at 32%. It is still a crisis. One in three people are unemployed in South Africa as we speak. That's more than enough crisis.
Before I
and
let you
the
go,
minister has not responded to that.
Sure. Before I let you go, I just want you to react to the national dialogue, please.
We rejected. Ramaphosa, the ANC cannot want to be resurrected through national dialogue. There's nothing national dialogue is going to achieve except for the ANC to want to come back into power through the bedroom. They've lost power. They need to accept that. And why they lost power is because they've been making promises that they've never fulfilled. From 1994, the ANC kept on saying the doors of learning shall open. There's no door of learning that opened. From 1994, they've been saying there'll be better life for all. They are now reaping the fruits of their lies. The people of South Africa have seen through them that they are actually lies. 30 years into democracy, we have not seen the fruits of our freedom. So there is nothing that the international dialogue is going to do. It's another commission on top of another commission. We've actually listed all the commissions that Ramaphosa has established ever since he became president of this country. In every sector, there is a commission. In every issue, there's a commission. Clearly, the president has got no clue on how to run this country. So, because you can't run a country on commission after commission, we don't even see the result of that commission, because what we see is our country going down and down the drain. There's nothing that is going to come out of it. They are going to spend taxpayers' money, which we don't have, and they will not resolve the issues of our people. What we want, what our people want, is employment. What our people want is an economy that keeps on growing and growing, and you can only grow the economy if you industrialize, not through Operation Vulindlela that is privatizing even our state, very little state-owned entities that we have. We've given so many examples to say, look at the model of China. China did not have engineers back 15 years ago. They saw that they will never grow the economy without engineers. They took young people, young students, put them throughout the world, educated them, brought them back, and said, what do we need to do, engineers? They said, we have to industrialize. China today's economy is booming, and it's booming and booming. We need to do the same thing in South Africa. You can't have a country where there's no economic activity. You borrow money to pay debt. That's wrong. You have to borrow money, create revenue-generating projects that will make you to sell goods and services, and recover that money through selling of goods and services, and even have more money to plug back into the economy. What do? No, we go borrow money to pay for that. So it's not sustainable what they're trying to do, and there's nothing, not even prayers will save them from what they're doing. What they need to do is to leave austerity budget and have a budget that will stimulate the economy, industrialize this country, strengthen and capacitate the state-owned entities, employ people. We take kids to school through NSFAS. Those kids are supposed to come back and plow back into the economy by working. No, they don't have work opportunities. They come and sit back at home. And what do we do then? we turn back to government and say, please give us grants again. So it's a government of grants that is not sustainable. There's nothing wrong with grants, but there's everything wrong with just putting grants and not growing the economy, not making young people to work and plow back into the economy to grow this economy.
Thank you so much for your take there. EFF Treasury General Umphile Maudu. Philip Gwatema, I'm so sorry to keep you holding. Thank you so much for your patience. Good evening.
Good evening, my people. Thank you for the opportunity. You know, the previous caller said a mouthful. My starting point, looking at version one of the budget, I think there was 32 billion there, which was allocated on the SRD grant.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not like disputing the purpose of that SRD grant allocation, but as a country, as a nation, where are we going if we keep like feeding people who are capable of working? But my thinking, I was like, okay, if you can take that 32 billion and do something creative about that 32 billion. I mean, there's a booming market of deliveries. Why are you not giving that 23-year-old a motorbike driver's license, and then they'll be feeding themselves forever? I mean, how long are you going to keep on feeding these people? And then on the issue of national dialogue, I mean, can't we have a national dialogue where we're talking about reinstatement of the scorpion, where I think the country went to a rabbit hole where the scorpions were gotten rid of. I think that's the starting point on my point. And then secondly, can't we have a national dialogue on the education system? So till this day, we're still using the apartheid education system where it trained to go and seek for employment. Can't we have a rejuvenation of our education system where we also incorporate more of the entrepreneurial studies? I mean, and a subject like LO, we can like give you, let's say, 10,000, say, go prepare a presentation how you can start a business with that 10,000. The moment you complete the matric or someone give you that money, then you know you have an idea of how to start a business or how to run a business. I mean, we're going nowhere with our education system. I wish I could be part of that national dialogue, because looking at all the people that you mentioned that are going to be part of that national dialogue, I doubt they know the pain of going to bed and not having any of not having anything on your stomach, or not even able to put food on the table or for the kids that you're looking after, or to even buy electricity. Thank you, Pimela.
Thank you very much, Philip. I really appreciate your call there. Look, it's an ongoing conversation. This is one of those conversations. It's not going to end now. We'll continue taking your reactions all the way until the 15th of August. So it's a long list, as I said. I wasn't going to read all of it, but in there as well, I see there's also Miss South Africa as well, who's part of this eminent group, but would really, really like to hear from you. I want to take a quick break. When I come back, I want to go to Meadowlands. They were left without electricity for most of the day today, but they've been complaining. This electricity has been on and off for some time, and they are fed up. And so today, they had a protest. And so we'll tell you all about that in a short while.
Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.